Welcome to Be Simply. This is she, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. Today, we're going to connect to socialization and its importance to you individually and us collectively as a society. I thought where we dive in on this topic of socialization is just to define the syntax of what it means to be social. And this aspect of our current culture, global culture, has shifted. One being that we've had the introduction of the internet and social media, ways for people to engage with one another through technology versus in person, which has positives and negatives, as most things do. So this word socialization is a continual process of developing one's identity, beliefs, and knowledge. This begins really at conception and is an infinite process. If we're working with a reincarnation model, you're going from one existence to the next. And if you don't want to work with that model, that's fine. There are scientific studies out there showing our ancestral DNA is passed down. We have imprints, so you can at least take responsibility for this lifetime and realize that you're passing down the way you're being to your ancestors. And how can we do it mindfully and with awareness? In addition, socialization involves learning the values, behaviors, norms, and social skills so that we can function in society. And this has really changed drastically just in the last 50 to 60 years as far as what that is. And we can look across the generations where they might have frustration from one generation to the next because things are very different. And also, socialization is a way of acquiring a culture, something that is being disseminated on this planet. We used to look at being from different locations in the world. We're more of one giant melting pot, which is beautiful, builds a lot of tolerance. Yet certain things like arts and crafts and traditions and sounds and foods become intertwined and lose that cultural aspect when we meld them all together. So when we have socialization in one area and work with certain ingredients, we develop a culture from there. In addition, your personality forms. You get to express yourself. You get to open up aspects of yourself that maybe you've been not ready to share with others and get to test out waters. You see this in toddlers. Finally, that good socialization can help you personally within your community and lead to consistency and create trust within yourself and those you engage with. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that socialization is something that we right now, when I walk around on the streets, I see people looking in their phone. They have a hard time having restraint from that technological device when they're out in the world. Like yesterday, I took a really long walk with my kids, and we were exploring architecture and talking about it. And you know, there were a few moments where they wanted to go for that device, but they respectfully honored my wish and put it away. And you know, they understand the difference of having a conversation at a meal or going on a walk and looking at things around. You're able to discover things that you normally wouldn't see. For example, my son found a gift card on the ground, and we decided we better leave it there in case someone was going to come back for it, that they lost it, it fell out of their pant pocket. Something you wouldn't notice if you were spending time looking at a device. So this is one of the reasons I'm wanting to engage this and hope it helps teens and adults that are creating isolation with technology versus using it, as a friend of mine says, as a search and discovery device. It can help you, but you don't need to be dependent on it so that you can be connected to our entire ecosystem in a different way. In addition, as people age, Loneliness sets in, and depending on their circumstances, if you are isolated, you're going to feel lonely, depressed, might feel anxiety, stress. All of these things are qualities that will help you or our whole ecosystem. So by taking time to go out and interact with people, this helps keeping yourself in a good state of mind. And something that you will be used to as you get older and maybe aren't as afraid to go out and maybe play cards or go dancing, all these fun things that can happen throughout your entire lifespan. You know, in Spain, which is really beautiful to see on Sundays, in their culture, the women will go out and have lunch and tea. And this is how it is in their culture, but it can happen many different ways and forms. And then the men will maybe go to the local bar and have a drink and play cards. And the kids and the parents and everyone comes together at dinner and has a meal. So the whole day is dedicated to this idea of socialization and having a good time, and it goes into the evening, sometimes the wee hours of the morning. So this really beautiful opportunity to engage with one another. Now, interestingly enough, I was doing some research and I've been thinking a lot about our younger generations coming up, and as the ones that will have yet to be defined are, you know, going to have their own obstacles, but also have their own gifts that they're bringing forward to help our generations to come. The one thing that is really predominant, especially around the youth, the ones that are still in grade school, middle school, and high school, is that there's this real deep desire to go out and be social. And then the young professionals that are just getting out of college and going out to the world, they have this deep desire to go out and be interacting, and they're very focused, from the studies I've read, very focused on their image. I think this is two forms. This is coming in from social media, where we're an age of really promoting a little bit of a narcissistic behavior, where people are taking selfies, overspending time to have the perfect look. So part of that's feeding it. And then the other part, I think, that's feeding this desire for socialization is the isolation from the technology, where you're not going out. And finally, the human species is saying, enough is enough. I want to engage. I want to go out. I want to have conversation. I don't want it to be through, you know, 150 characters. So I want to have a longer conversation than just one sentence and get a response versus maybe not get one at all. So this is where we're starting to see the breaking point of technology and how it'll start to shift and change to meet the needs of the human species as it's ready to evolve and shift and change. So the other interesting part is that the younger generations, there's a lot more stress and drive and wanting to have goals, yet there's a huge demand for wanting things to support things that have social change. So the aspect of this opportunity that we have to engage socially and redefine what that is, because like I said, cultures are disseminating, the world is defined much differently. We're getting to a place where people have the ability to fully express themselves. So if we were in a tribal time, your whole community would be dressed the same, where now you go out into your community and everyone has the free will to express themselves and create in this more potpourri fashion of a little of this, a little of that. And that gives people inclinations and clues as to what you're about, kind of giving you a cover before they engage. But you never know. There might be a trick there. So we're going to dive in a little bit further about the importance of socialization to the mind, the body, and soul. When we do this inner work, and if you're committed to continuing to look in, to continue to grow, and that's what socialization does. It enables you to continue to grow, find out new information. But if you're closed off or you're deeply rooted in what you think you know, that is going to make things a little bit more rigid. You might find a group that's just as rigid as you, and that'll feel comfortable. However, I really encourage all of you, as I do my own children, is to really think about looking at the world from 360 degrees. Look at all aspects of a situation. We're in this wonderful time that we're starting to see the veils drop. We're starting to see things fall away that no longer belong. And that will require doing a lot more investigation and studies. So we're having some fun background sounds right now. I don't know what they are, but they're making me giggle. All right, so socialization, the mind, is one thing that really benefits from when we get out there and engage with one another. It keeps your brain healthy. It reduces your chances of dementia and Alzheimer's because you're utilizing it, and you're utilizing many different aspects of your body when you go out and physically engage in the world versus if you're just more sedentary, and especially if you're just looking at a screen. However, there were some studies I showed that were stating that at certain times when you're using technology, your brain functions increase. So again, this is that balance, that moderation, and finding how we can integrate these things that exist, coexist right now to benefit us holistically. Number two, it stimulates the intellect. Problem solve, create, communicate, and share are the opportunities that occur in the mind, and it also encourages debate, something that is an art form that is maybe prevalent in social media, but not as much in verbal form. In addition, when you learn to be a good debater, you learn that it's important to know all sides of a situation, not just one. So the mind, if you want to stimulate the intellect, this is a great way to do this, is just by getting out there. Number three, as I mentioned earlier, is it decreases loneliness, the thoughts of loneliness, feeling alone, feeling isolated. Once we get those out of our mind, then the world starts to appear much differently, and you realize that you're not alone. There are many people on this planet around you at all times. Next up, the body. So the physical body, when we go out and socialize, we have the opportunity to be active. Exercise is a great way to get out there, be around people, even if you're not comfortable making small talk. It can help reduce social anxiety by just going out for a walk, a run. The younger generations are preferring not working out in gyms. They're preferring either doing group activities outdoors or programs that are virtual, surprise, surprise, to allow them to work out. My friend was telling me of one that's a 7-minute workout that he does, and he'll repeat it 3 times to get 21 minutes in. So there's all these different options, but if you want to be social, maybe not do it with your iPhone or your whatever Android, maybe go out into the world and engage in that activity. Even if you bring that phone to the park instead of doing it in your home, it keeps the brain active, again, the mind, but also the brain is what is helping your body function. So it is what's making your body function. So by keeping it active, that is beneficial. Reduces feelings of loneliness, depression, anxiety in the physical body. So these emotions will sit and lock down in different aspects of your body. So by getting out there into the world, they'll help reduce this and keep you in a well state of being. Also can assist in the healing process. So if you're physically suffering something, especially after a trauma, then going out and getting back into the world, it can feel super uncomfortable the first time you do it, or the second or the third. However, it's important because then you get to re-engage with your global community, your local community, your family, your friends, and start to reach some type of normalcy or the mundane again, which is really, really important. So please find a friend to help you in that process, especially if you're finding you're a little bit fearful about that. It'll help you in your healing process, and it'll help that mind too. On a soul level, socialization can assist, as I mentioned, the DNA has imprints from our ancestors, and the people who have walked here before have left imprints in the earth, in rocks, in archaeological sites, all these different things that are happening. Us even researching them is resurrecting them, because we're putting energy towards who they were and what had occurred. So on a soul level, if we cultivate opportunities to engage with one another, this will assist on a soul level as you continue on and for generations to come. And if you have a spiritual practice, this can enrich that. This can deepen it so that you're not just in your own little private Idaho, not having the opportunity to have discourse and conversation and bounce concepts and ideas off one another. That will lead into studies and conversations and group activities in a yogic sense or to a Buddhist sense. That would be considered a sangha. If you're part of a church or a synagogue, that would be your sangha, your community. This feeds that spiritual aspect of yourself. And in addition, when we go out and engage in these conversations with one another, it allows new bodies of information to be explored, truths to be revealed, things to look at, examine, disregard, meet it with a new lens. Remember that some teachings have been passed down and they don't apply to today. So how do you meet them and transform them so they can assist in this moment in time? So that's a lot, mind, body, and spirit, but it can feed all of them. Sometimes you can do two at once, three at once. For example, I guess yoga would address mind, body, and spirit. Tai Chi, mind, body, and spirit. Qigong, again, mind, body, spirit. Those are some that would address all three. However, my parents would say mind, body, and spirit, golf. That's how they feel closest to the creator, as they would say, when they're out on that golf course. They feel at peace, they feel at one in harmony with nature, with themselves. So it can be met in all situations, and they're out with friends, socializing, and having conversations. So take some time to think about how you can meet yourself and nourish your mind, body, and spirit with others, and how you want to do that. We'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. Now, I wanted to recap a little bit on the generational difference, as I mentioned a little bit before. And then from there, what we're going to do is we're going to have some reflection time. So the TBDs, as I call them, and the millennials, they are, as I mentioned, seeking socialization opportunities. They're very focused on networking, you know, going full throttle. I see this amongst the young teens that I'm around and young adults that I'm around, that they are seeking and wanting information. And that happens, you know, in your early adulthood, you're ready to, you have opinions and you want to take on the world. This is beautiful. And what is also happening with the millennials in particular is that there's this need and desire to support social change. They're wanting to support social investments, business opportunities, and anything that supports a cause. So there's awareness. Now, there are some missing links there, because what I feel has happened is that with generations that have been raised on technology alone, part of that was a pacification, you know, pacifier from the parents. Ooh, technology's here. We could put our kids in front of it. They'll go smarter. They'll be quiet for a while. All these different things. And what happened is that they weren't taught, and this is where the generations rub and butt heads, they weren't taught etiquette. They weren't taught how to write a thank you note. They weren't taught how to write a business letter. Instead, they send a text message to their employer that they're quitting. People end relationships on text message. There's been this disconnect because the technology has created this unhealthy buffer from eye-to-eye communication. We've gotten scared and cautious. However, there's this inner drive to have social change. So as that rises up, there will need to be an internal code of conduct ethics reestablished, and some teachers to come forward to assist in teaching them some of the jewels and treasures that the older generations have that still can be used today. A lot of them are around respect is a good one. So previous generations weren't as concerned about socializing. They were more interested in the I, getting ahead, and maybe just taking care of their family or just taking care of themselves. And so some of that's deteriorated, and interesting enough to have such a high population with Alzheimer's and having dementia and all these things result as potentially a byproduct, the effect of maybe not as focused importance on culture, socialization. It was more focused on building a capitalist society and not on, you know, dancing till 2 a.m. in Spain or anywhere in the world, in the Philippines, in America. So now the potential outcome here, if we refocus on the importance of engaging with one another, is that we have a more holistic society, especially if we do it mindfully. I recently just wrote an article about the millennials, how they're really the new sober is the equivalent of going out and getting drunk in your younger years, is that they're wanting to have these meaningful conversations. And part of this, if you look at it from a reincarnation theory, is that you have the World War II souls and you have the people from baby boomers, all these individuals that have passed and come back in, and they have a new sense of awareness, and now they're harnessing what they potentially feel they missed out on. So it'll be interesting to watch it continue to evolve, but that holistic approach is going to be really important, making sure that you're meeting all your needs and they're done with integrity, authenticity. We're at the age where the veils are dropping. Pretending, manipulating are not going to be tolerated. A lot of people are going to realize how important it is and ask a lot more questions before they dive into certain things. So, causation for desire to increase socialization could be due to the following. So, overuse of the virtual world. Now we're craving that human interaction. Increase in violence, desire to find safe communities. So, if you go out to the movies, you see, yesterday I saw a movie, and all the lead-in, the trailers were so really violent, and we have a society where there's a lot of desensitization, but then you're also seeing things, real-time events that are taking people's lives, that are touching people in a way that they haven't been exposed to in a long time, especially in the last 10 to 20 years. And this is really making the younger generations crave safe communities, trusted communities, ones that are authentic, integral. And then there's a desire to create those authentic relationships, ones that have roots, ones that they can trust, ones that they can depend on and that are lasting. So coming together and realizing that the way we socialize is drastically changing, yet it's still quite familiar. It's as simple as going to the cafe and having a meal or a cup of coffee together or tea. There's all these beautiful opportunities to engage with one another. However, bringing a little bit more depth to it than just the surface maybe that we've been used to in the past. Our past generations were more, we don't want to know, so we're not going to ask. And now questions are wanting, people are asking questions, youth are asking questions and wanting to engage from there. So what I would like to do right now is we are going to be, for a moment, I'm going to lead you into just a kind of a recapitulation of where you're at right now in your current situation, where you feel that you would like to welcome in socializing with others, where you feel you might need some assistance, some help at that. That may sound silly, but, you know, I remember when I was a young girl and we were taught how to dance. We were taught how to socialize with one another. We were taught how to engage with one another on a dance floor in a formal manner. However, that's super beneficial. It makes it not as scary when you do it out in the real world in not a safe environment. So just think about where you've maybe been more closed off, maybe in your mind, your body, your heart, your spirit, and where you would like to start to engage in the world in a holistic manner. As you do this, just feel into each arena and see what comes up. No judgment, just see what comes up. So let's start by taking a deep breath in. We're going to start by breathing in to the full body, just welcoming all aspects of self. Take a deep breath in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. Another one, inhale and exhale. Again, inhale and exhale. Good. And from there, you're going to bring that breath up into that heart center. Nice, gentle breath into the heart, welcoming a deeper understanding of self. Deep breath in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. Another one, inhale and exhale. And as you continue to breathe in and out, bring that breath up from the heart to the mind. Deep breath in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. Thank you. taking a soft, gentle breath, breathing in and out, connecting back to here. Just gently bringing your awareness and letting go of what was received in that moment. And if you have any ahas and have a piece of paper close by, you could write them down or just commit them to your mental database and they'll come back. So just taking that moment, we're going to talk about a few more things here. That moment just to reflect is really important, and as we finish up this segment, we'll talk about that balance between the two, so that, you know, if you're afraid to be alone and you're always running around outside and being social, that loneliness might meet you still because you haven't become comfortable with being by yourself. Now, if you're more comfortable by yourself than being with others, then that can be a problem too. So the key is to find the balance. Okay, going out, but then taking that time to be inward, because we do need that time to regenerate, and then going back out again. And that will keep you in a really beautiful practice with yourself. Also, I want to acknowledge the music that we listened to during that segment was the Dusk Song of the Fisherman by Ancient Future, and the links are below. So, how to cultivate healthy socialization in your life? How do you want to socialize? You know, here we are, where so many things are just really falling away and have already fallen away, and it's this opportunity to create what's important to you. Certain things from the past are still here. Things will still continue to transform, and some will completely return to the earth and birth into something new. So, simple ways to cultivate healthy socializing is, one, to find groups that you're interested in. Right now, there's a lot of online. This is where technology is helpful. Search and discovery, meetup, social media groups. There's these opportunities everywhere, even if you're at your gym. There's even larger corporations like REI. They have outdoor activities, your local papers, a lot of opportunities inviting people out into the world. There's even business models where they have like the Mary Kay makeup party, but there's, I think, Cabby, they'll have parties bringing people together. Again, it might be under the premise of consumerism, which might not excite you, but it is an opportunity to interact and engage with other people. So there's a lot of opportunities to explore. There's even business groups that you can be a part of. Really important is, one, to investigate where you want to put your energy. Take some time to research, even ask friends. You might see a group that's through LinkedIn and you see a friend. You might ask them about the quality of the group. You might see someone that's in another group on social media. Ask questions before you jump in. Or, as I've told some of the teens at the clinic I teach at, you can go in those clubs that they offer at your high school and you can sit in the back of the room and check it out. You don't have to commit right away. You always have that free will to exit stage left, as I like to say, or that free will just to check it out and then come back. You can check it out two or three times before you commit. Give yourself permission to do that and actually use restraint, because if you overcommit, you're going to be exhausted and then you're going to feel like you've let people down potentially. As you do that research, also check in with your gut. Check in with your heart center and your solar plexus, your stomach, and see what it says. If it says no, listen to it. Even if there's people in there that you think you would like to socialize with, trust your gut. And also evaluate the patterns in your life. Are you always trying to hang out with people that end up not coming through for you in the way you'd like, or not coming through for you in a healthy manner? We don't want to repeat destructive relationship patterns, so really hold yourself accountable here. And if you need some help or guidance with that, feel free to email me. I'm happy to also work with you one-on-one, but just really look at how you typically interact with people, how you build relationships, and where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, so that you can improve this process for yourself, so there won't be as many hurdles along the way. You can also take a class, workshop, or program. As mentioned, there's a lot of options out there. You can find them at your gym, you can find them at a yoga studio, you can find them at a martial arts studio, I'm sure at a, what do you call them? It's really popular right now. CrossFit gym, all those different places, swimming pool, tennis club. You can find different classes, different workshops, continuing education that you can go out and be around people and engage. The next one is practice communicating everywhere you go. Listen more than you speak. Observe others, but communicate. Take time to be present in your communication with others and listen before you jump in with a response to really see what's happening. And if you have kids, it's a great opportunity to practice communicating. Are you listening? Bring your presence to them, to the present moment, and see what unfolds right there. That's how you're having true interaction. Put the phone, put the technology away, keep that scheduled for a certain part of the day. Don't have it always available to you. That's not an effective way to get through your day. It'll waste a lot of time. It's a big time suck. So practice that communicating. Be mindful with it. Practice it even in the physical realm and the virtual realm. Really be mindful with it. You'll be surprised. If you are shy or recovering from trauma, find someone to assist you with that transition. That's the area I love to focus on, helping people transition from one situation to the next. And this is important because your life has been turned over on to a different side, and it's hard to sometimes get back out there. If you're shy, same thing. It might be hard for you to cultivate these skills of interacting with others. It's really important to have a little bit within your comfort zone. We're all going to have varying degrees of how much socializing we want to have, but find something that meets your needs so that you're not feeling lonely or depressed or any of these other things. If you have behavioral issues, take charge of them. Get support so they're not a hindrance. So many people walk around letting you know about their conditions, whether it's ADHD, ADD, they're bipolar, whatever it might be. Fantastic, I always say, fantastic, but what are you doing about it? So make sure that you take charge. You're not a victim. There's a lot of modalities out there to help everyone through these situations. We have workforce, a whole workforce of people that are dealing with conditions that didn't exist 10, 20 years ago. Now they are. So we all have to work together, but if you do have any perceptual hindrances, take charge of them, get support, and be diligent with it. Show up for them. You'll be surprised at what happens. I had a beautiful client last week. She says she can't sit still. She can't sit still. And when we went into the sound therapy part of the session, she completely went out, and she surprised herself that she could finally reach that calm point. So there are so many possibilities out there. So that's all I have to say about that. But it will help you in socializing if you don't feel like you have this hindrance there or this buffer that's going to keep you from interacting with people authentically, because it is possible. Cultivate a balance between social opportunities that feed your mind, body, and spirit. Make sure all of them are met and that they feel holistic. They're for your well-being. They're not going to cause harm to you or others. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to listen to a little music, give yourself a pause from me. This is Jono Hayes. I just discovered this artist out of New Zealand from someone I interviewed, Sam Irwin, last week. And this is No Tango Peace, I Have No Country, and I thought this was appropriate for maybe if we feel a little lost in our interactions with one another, and that we can go deeper internally to find some peace and then reemerge into the world. So as we dive into this, just allow yourself to take a pause for a moment and think about how you would like to cultivate healthy opportunities to get out into your community, into your family, with friends, and engage with them, and with yourself, with people you don't know yet. And during this, just gently allow those thoughts to come in and out of your mind's eye and follow the breath in and out of the heart center. I have no country. And hopefully during that segment, you were able just to take a moment and connect a little bit deeper to how you want to engage with the world. Do you need less and more of it? So Now, to conclude this segment, we're going to talk about the practices to increase and support your courage to socialize, and also address that if you're feeling stress and anxiety, what is possible during this process. And I want to encourage you during this process is just meet yourself with a soft gaze and others, to just keep that open heart, but that humble heart there. It's really a beautiful practice, and it makes things a lot easier when we move from the heart versus maybe the mind's eye or the ego, the aspect of self-importance. So there's a couple simple practices to do this, to start this process, and they will support the process of getting out in the world. Even if you decide right now, hey, I want to go out there and I want to take some time and learn how to be a photographer. So I'm going to take some photography classes, and there will be people there, and I'll have conversations, and I'll get to go out on photo shoots and have all these different experiences that I might have not had otherwise. So a perfect example of something that enables you to have a goal, and then you can meet it and keep it small, keep it simple. From there, these steps will help support this process. If you, let's say you've decided you want to take a class, you want to learn to surf, you want to learn to train for a marathon, whatever it might be. So first is to really commit that you're going to take care of you. When we do this, you're more enjoyable to be around. I was witnessing someone earlier today when I was getting my coffee, and she appeared to have not had a lot of sleep last night, as she was commenting, and that she had a long day. So when we don't have sleep, when we don't have rest, or if we're suffering from stress and anxiety, this will inhibit the quality of interaction that we have with one another. So priority is food, rest, exercise, and meditate. These are good staples. And meditation can just be sitting and doing nothing. Turn everything off and just sit in the quiet for a little bit. So again, that's food, rest, exercise, and a little meditation. Number two, get support where needed. If you're suffering from severe anxiety, stress, or depression, it's important that you give this some attention, proper attention. Don't bypass it by ignoring it or keeping yourself super busy. Make sure that you schedule the time, whether you need to be in a couple complementary therapies to treat this, and integrate some daily practices to keep these at bay and eventually reduce them to not existing is important. But you have to show up for it. You have to commit it. And that if you're numbing yourself out with something, that is avoiding it. So be honest with yourself and just check in there. If you do need the support, please get it. And if you don't know what support you need, feel free to email me at s@suzannetoro.com, and I'll be happy to give you some feedback and we can analyze what's going on. Next thing, a simple practice to support you in this is set a schedule for yourself to be social and for downtime off technology. Find the balance. So set a goal, a class, so many times a week, a month, whatever it might be, meet it. And then also schedule downtime, whether it's an hour a day, a week. Hopefully it's more than that, but start small and then move from there. And then finally, I had one more I didn't realize, but I just saw it in my notes, is keep exploring. Allow yourself to maybe experience something for a while. Maybe you realize it's not for you, or you enjoyed it, but that time has come to pass, like a relationship. And keep going. There's always new things to discover and explore and learn. So keep yourself open to doing that. It'll help with non-attachment and that nothing can continue without change. So just to repeat, one, take care of you, food, rest, exercise, and meditate. Get some support where needed. Set your schedules for your social time, your downtime. Find the balance between the two, and keep exploring. So we're going to sign out today with Buena Vista Social Club, a little fun song that I thought would be a good way to maybe inspire you to move a little into the next. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.